We were at Cannon Beach. What a wonderful meeting. They were wonderful. Just wonderful meetings. And I can't say enough about how many ministers were there. There was like 160, 66 ministers, all representing churches. And towards the last day, I was sitting in the breakfast room, and some people came over and sat down and said, "Have you heard the news?" And I said, "What news?" And oh, it was Jack Holt. He's the pastor, River of Life up north. And I says, "No, I haven't." And so he starts laughing. He says, "Boy, we're in for some storms." Now, I'm going to share this story with you, to share something with you that I never had thought too much of until. How many of you know that I had a fear of our trees around our house? And driving me nuts, carnally speaking. My wife had more faith in the trees than I did. And I knew there were a problem, or could be a problem. And so one morning, it was in the morning, I remember it very vividly. When you have a fear about something, you remember things, create the fear. Our trees started whipping. I meant they were so violently clashing together. And leaves were breaking off, and all of the neighbors ran outside and was looking up at the trees. And I was out there, wow, this is... And I got so mad that I ran to the back of my house. I said, "In the name of Jesus..." There was an anger that rose up in me. I said, "In the name of Jesus, peace be still." Instantly stopped. Instantly. Do you know something? I took my authority. I didn't pray about that storm or nothing. I just took my authority and I said, "You stop. Peace be still." I remember Jesus did that when he got on the boat. "Peace be still." And instantly. And they said, "What manner of man was this?" Well, my mind tells me it was a fluke. You're not nothing special. Wind just happened to stop. You were just lucky. I'm going to tell you something. Satan's number one goal is to get you not to have confidence in what God can do through you. He'll do everything he can to get you to think it was for some other reason that windstorm stopped. And so as I was thinking about this, I said, how could that be a coincidence? The minute I said that, stopped. Oh, that was... And I wrestled with that and I thought about it. And one day the Lord spoke to me and he said, "You know what? Pastor Butler..." I know I'm in trouble when he says Pastor Butler, because that's what my wife says. He follows her voice, Pastor Butler. He says, "You're going to have the opportunity to do that again. And you'll get the same results." And I said, "No, no." And he says, "Okay, are you saying that this is not going to happen?" I said, "No, I'm not going to do that, Lord." He says, "Okay, shut up. You're going to get the opportunity." One night, it hit again. Suddenly, just out of nowhere. And these trees were flashing and limbs breaking and crashing around. And I got mad again. And I went out and did the same thing again. And it stopped instantly. Then I remembered what the Lord said. "You're going to get the opportunity to do it again." You know what I was thinking? I was fighting this Now clarify this. Do I have a special anointing on me for weather? That's what I was thinking. Wow. Maybe I do. And I'm just excited about it. And I got to think, nah, I ain't got no special anointing on weather. That would be motivated by my fear of trees. So, no, that ain't a coincidence. Didn't get a word from the Lord at all. And so, and then I didn't tell you the meantime. Trimming trees, removing some, you know, because of fear. And so we get this news, and Jack Holt looks at me grinning, and he said, it's going right down the middle of High Five. And I says, oh, Jack, I says, don't sit there and grin about it. I said, from what I understand, when I looked at my tablet, it said, Auburn's going to get hit the worst. Jack Holt lives in Auburn. And Jack goes, oh, it doesn't say that. And I said, I'll show you where it said it on my tab. He said, I don't want to see it. Now he's getting serious, you know. And so that morning we got up, Thursday morning and everything, and we're getting ready. And it's hitting now. The first storm came in. And so me and Sue, we got up, got out of there, got home. Just in time for the storm to, and I had a supernatural peace. Even my wife said, how come you're not fretting? Yeah, I see a calmness about you. Well, I'm sitting there and I say, well, you know something? I've come to the conclusion that the angels have got my house covered because of what Sue reminded me that our grandson said that she saw angels around our house and camped around our house. And I remember in Isaiah where it said, no evil will befall you nor your dwelling. You'll go out with peace. You'll come back with peace. And I was so at peace knowing that. And finally I said, you know what, angels? You're going to do such a fine job. I'm not going to lose one branch on my trees. Because you're going to be up there and make sure everything's stable. I've done all I can do in the natural, call wisdom, but I'm going to have respect that your angels are up there protecting my home, protecting my neighbor's home, protecting my neighbor on this side's home. I'm reaching out, protecting my neighbors as well. And I says, I'm going to be at peace. And I did. I was at peace. Finally, it calmed down and everybody was ranting and raving. Oh, prepare for the next one. Oh, this one's going to come down. But I didn't tell anybody, didn't even tell Sue. But are you ready for this? The Lord spoke to me. He said, the second storm has the magnitude of that 1962 storm. And it's going to come right at you. And it will do more damage. It will take lives than the one in 62. I got that. This ain't God. This ain't God. Then I started listening to the news and they said they didn't understand the magnitude of this storm. It was so massive, so big, they could not determine the amount of damage it does, nor where it was going to hit, or the magnitude of it. You guys heard that on the news. Did you guys not hear that? And the Lord told me, this one has to be diverted. And I said, well, that's sweet and nice. And anyway, I hadn't ended up, Mike Golder called me, I had to end up going to Doretta's funeral about her son, Freddie. And as I'm heading there, I'm driving in my truck. And the next thing I know, I'm driving, but I'm not. And I'm standing at the edge of this storm. And I'm looking at it, and the Lord said to me, he says, man, he says, you rebuke this storm and send it out west. For I do not want no more harm or damage come to my people, nor the unpeople. In other words, I was taking an unbeliever. And then I got to thinking about while I'm standing there looking at this massive storm and the amount of damage it could do, there was something in me rose up. Oh my gosh, at the magnitude of this thing. And the Lord said, now I want you to command it to divert out west. And I went, okay, I'll do it. I know I'm in the spirit. I'm not focused on driving to this funeral. I'm focused at the storm. And so I said, in the name of Jesus. And even when I said the name, it was like there was an authority in this name that no one could obtain to. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to move west. You'll do no more damage to the inhabitants of the land. And I said, I stand in my authority, and that will be what it will be. Bam, I was back in my car. And I got to thinking, was that me? What's going on here? And I go to the funeral, and I couldn't even hardly get in the funeral without being drenched. And I came out, and I got my truck, and I went home. And so everybody's counting the time down. Come about 5:30, and phew, them branches were blowing like crazy and everything. All of a sudden, they just... And I knew. I was at peace, I knew. Boy, these weathermen, they're going to be confused. That's what I was thinking. So this morning I turned on the news. You know what they were saying? We don't understand. And it seemed like the storm kind of went out to the west. It just kind of diverted. We didn't expect, how many of you heard the news even this morning? We don't know what happened. But then we found out that a lot of the meteorologists did not want to really say how bad it was. They were afraid to. They didn't know what was going to happen. God knows. Amen? And so again, I get this thought. God says, you think you're so special? When God asks you that, you keep your mouth shut. He said, do you want to learn something out of this? I said, yeah, I'm willing to. Yeah, tell me, Lord. He said, you don't have a special anointing on you for this particular wind, storms. He says, you have the anointing I've given every one of my believers to avert the storms of life. And I went, you mean I'm not anything special? God said, no. He said, I want you to tell my people they have the same authority. But when you pray, you have got to believe that what you say will come to pass and they will have whatever they say. That is how important your prayer life is. And boy, he put that in me. He says, you never have to worry about your trees ever again. You be at peace because you have authority over nature. It still works today, but not for just Mr. Butler. It works for every believer that is under the Lord Jesus Christ. You guys have that same power. And he says, the reason I picked you, I wanted you to do what nobody else would do. And that is not to succumb to what was coming, because you're not a man of a forecast. You're a man of delivered vision. Hallelujah. Now, the thing about that is you have to learn to be led of the Spirit of God. Oh, I loved what Keith Moore was sharing up there about being led by the Spirit of God. You can have a spirit of faith about you, but there are times you have to have a direct leading, even though you have faith for something, because if there is such a thing as not having a genuine faith. And he was showing me the scripture, and I went, oh my gosh, I see it. There are people who think they're in faith and they're not. It's not a genuine faith. And then he described what real faith was, and I go, wow. And he says, when you're operating in real faith, he says, a lot of times you have to have a direct leading of the Spirit of God. But listen to me, people. You have to learn how to walk in the Spirit before you can be led by the Spirit. And when he was bringing that out, I went, oh my gosh, that is. I mean, you know something? It wasn't that he gave brand new revelation, but he refreshed and, you know, iron sharpens iron. He put a sharpness back into me again by reminiscing what I had already known. But boy, he brought the reality. And he says, if you don't believe we need a leading of the Spirit in the time we're praying, we're living in, he says, you got some things coming for enlightenment. Just like Freddie when he took his life, the way he took it. It says, if you follow the leading of the Spirit, you'll live long.
Yeah.
And that's one thing Satan wants us to do, is keep from walking in the Spirit, because walking in the Spirit will put you in a position of knowing how to be led by the Spirit of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When it was my turn to speak, I spoke on the Holy Ghost and how you need to be praying in tongues. You need to be talking to God in your spirit. And there's all these trash messages that come in. Even messages now, ministers are giving us message out of psychology. Psychology is a study of the natural mind. You can't find God through the intellect. You got to find God through your spirit. And your spirit ain't going to know this unless you can, you start talking to God. Because when you're praying in the Spirit, you're building your most holy faith. What is your most holy faith? That which develops on the inside of you. That is your most holy faith. And that's where your leading comes from. But if you got this imbalance working in your thinking all the time, one minute you're listening to your natural mind and the next minute you're listening to your spiritual mind, that's confusion. You've got to pay to, so one of these days you've got to be humble enough to say, I don't care what my natural mind tells me, this is what the Spirit of God tells me. And I have to make a decision predicated on it. The same with these storms that were coming. See, I was thinking from a natural view. I was thinking I had a special anointing or special, and I wasn't realizing all God wanted to show me is I have a place that all believers have. I have a place of authority over this world. And if I'm in Christ Jesus and I have faith in my heart, I can accomplish what God wants me to accomplish, for the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike. And when I averted that storm, I didn't avert it because of my trees around my house. I averted it because I wanted God's heart just as much as God. I don't want no one else to be harmed by this storm. And God said, what you're going to do is that when you hear what they're going to say about it, he says, all you have to do is laugh and thank me. Because I found a man that was willing to stand and avert the storm. And he says, I did it not because of you. I did it to let my people know they have the same power. Can you imagine if a whole bunch of us were in that same position by insider revelation? Then we could avert a lot of these things that happen to people. Now, we can't avert what people deliberately choose to do, like wars and stuff. But when it comes to the storms of this life, these systems that are floating all around and destroying homes and flooding areas, especially on the East Coast and thing, the people in those areas, they can pray in those areas and avert a lot of that. But how many people are doing that? I'm going to tell you, those windstorms that caught me off guard, where the fear started right, the only thing I had to do was to take my authority through an anger on the inside of me, peace be still. But listen, how many times have I sat there, oh my gosh, these trees, oh, what's going to happen? About time we slap ourselves and say, hey, natural man. I didn't say I'd give natural man the right to bind and loose. He gives believers that right. Over all the power of the enemy. What do you think the enemy is? Do you think he's not in these systems?
Sure, he's in these systems. He's working fear in the hearts of men. That's why you find a lot of these cataclysmic. Have you guys noticed in the last 10, 15 years, all these cataclysmic things that are happening because of the atmosphere? Well, who do you think's in that? Think God's in that? Stupidity of man says, God doing this. He's in control. The biggest lie Satan has ever sold the church. You might as well take note of it. The biggest lie Satan ever gave the church, that God is in control of this planet. That is a lie. Sold right out of the pit of hell. I'm going to tell you who's in control of this planet. Those who have accepted Jesus as Lord and got under Him and His mantle, you and I are now responsible for the authority of what goes on in this planet. Hello, until Satan's lease is up. Keith Moore even said that in the meetings. You could have heard a pin drop. Yeah. And another thing, this concept of money, their ministers are starting to tell me, well, nothing's going to happen to me because I got my tithe out there. I've been doing my tithing, doing my giving. God's got me covered. Since when has the outcome to your life is predicated on the almighty dollar? I'm going to tell you something, people. God, He's got you covered, not because you got bucks. He's got you covered because He put love in your heart for mankind. Amen. And it's not predicated on the lifeblood of the flesh, money. It's predicated on the authority of the believer in his heart. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't give to the Lord. You're following what I'm saying. But don't, never say money is the issue for your blessing. I'm going to tell you something. That's serving God and money. And you cannot have the mind of God when you think that way. And you can't have the mind of God when you don't want to bless God. You start getting freed up financially and you start looking at figures that you can start turning to God. You're going to have your carnal mind doing a tap dance on your thinking. No, you can't give that. Not that much. Just think if you put that in the bank. Well, I guarantee if you put it all in the bank and don't give it any to the kingdom of God, when the banks fail, don't blame God. I don't know why I'm going this way, but we need to honor God in everything that we do. We need to honor Him. He is a wonderful Lord. And I'm going to tell you something. Worse things are going to come upon this planet. Very much. He needs His people being led by Him to do something about this rain that's falling on the just and the unjust alike. People, we are the ones God operates through during this time period so that God can get things done. And if it's predicated on money, you don't have His mind. It's all right to believe God, and it's all right to believe God for money, and you know what I mean? But don't let that stop you. With what you have, do with what you have, and let God increase it. You know, a lot of these ministers that are after money all the time, they'll tell you God ain't happy with you until you give the full tithes. Nobody, I don't hear any of these ministers preaching according to the Corinthians there where it says, what do you have in your hand? So that, and God gives an increase to that so that you'll have an abundance when you need it. See, it's the same mind that gives to God is the same mind that has to, the increase has to come through. Because God instructs you mentally how to increase, not decrease. It's how you're motivated. Where is your heart? It's a known fact. It's a known fact that more Christians today are more concerned about their retirement than they are their spiritual growth in the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, many of us got to come to the realization we are in the last of the last days. And our time is valuable right now to the kingdom of God. Our resources are valuable to the kingdom of God. Are you following me? And God is not short of making sure that your resources are just as important. Problem is, He has to have our mind. We have to have His thinking in order to get that accomplished. And Satan's number one job is to distract you as much as he possibly can for you getting the mind of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the morning I shared, had quite a few ministers come up. They said they hadn't heard anything like what I'd presented to them, especially about the renewing of the mind. Because most of your ministers teach that it's your natural mind that's renewed. I found that not to be true. It's non-renewable. It stays in its same position because it has a nature of death in it. But your spiritual mind has been freed from your natural mind. It has been circumcised from the identity of your natural man. And see, they never had any idea because they always thought the heart always meant spirit. The heart is not always spirit. The heart is not your spirit. The heart is made up of how you process things in your mind. And there are so many scriptures, just so numerous to name. I wish I had time to go through them all with you, that literally talks about the heart. Matter of fact, I have taught it from time and time again. And I've even asked certain ones in my body, do you know what the issue of the heart is? Yeah, it's the center of your being. It's your spirit. No, that's not what I taught. I said the heart is made up of the process that takes place in a man's mind or a person's thought life. That's what makes up the heart. And if you study scripture, the heart is made up of body, soul, and spirit. It's made up of all three. And so it's how you process your natural man, your natural mind, your spiritual mind, and your spirit. It's how you put them together. That's how you determine the heart. It's a process that takes place in a man's mind. It involves his actions. It involves his mouth. And everything that comes out of your mouth and all your actions are not necessarily spirit. They are sometimes out of your natural mind. Your mouth speaks out of its natural mind. Your mouth speaks out of your spirit. Your mouth will speak right out of your body. So what is the heart made up of? Number one, your fixed beliefs. It's made up of your attitudes. It's made up of your expectations. It's made up of your assumptions. And it's made up of your perceptions. And I found scripture galore that defines every one of these. So I have come to the conclusion the term for heart is a process that takes place in a person's mind to process things. And I found that I do not have a right to process things between my natural mind and my spirit, because then I'm bouncing between good and evil again. I have to make my mind up that what God says is true, so I have to make my fixed beliefs in the mind of God, my attitudes in the mind of God, my expectations have to be in the mind of God, my assumptions have to be in the mind of God, and my perceptions has to be in the mind of God. That will make a difference between somebody being churched and somebody being unchurched. Right. Well, so-and-so would be here, but God knows his heart. That is such a pathetic statement to say about somebody. Sure, God knows your heart, but he wants to change it. He wants you to quit processing it the way you are. What is fixed beliefs? The acceptance of something as true. It's called a conviction. There are some things in us that is the wrong conviction. God's word has to make the right conviction. Attitudes. It means a disposition to respond in a particular way. I call this the posture of the body. Have you ever been around somebody that has no communication with their body? Expectations. What do you expect to happen or to anticipate? Boy, the Proverbs has a whole lot to say about that. There are some expectations you find in people that are not there that you thought was. And what happens if they aren't? What's going to do to you? Well, it depends on how your mind has been processed. How you react. Oh, what about assumptions? We don't have a problem with assumptions. That's my biggest downfall. I assume. The tendencies to take for granted what people say or do. This is the area where offenses come more than anything else. And then there's perception. To see. We believe what we think we see. It's a mental impression of something. Assumptions are really loaded in Bible. But that's what makes up your heart. These five areas. You don't want to go beyond that because then you get into psychology. You get into how people react and everything. I want to get into how God does things. Can you imagine God, his heart being molded and shaped by how people react to him? Oh my gosh, if I'd have thought that was the way you were going to respond, I would have changed my word. No, God comes in to strengthen your heart. He comes in to make sure you got the right beliefs floating in you for the right conviction. He wants to make sure you have the right attitude about something, the right expectations and assumptions and perceptions of things. God will put that in the right perspective, and man, you can relate to, you could relate to your neighbor's dog. You know, when you let the love of God grow in your heart, you're the biggest, strongest, most capable person on planet Earth to deal with life, especially in people. Otherwise, you'll find yourself in a rage because of people. I know that probably doesn't define you. If they don't line up with your life, then you just pitch them off. God will make you a winner with everything and everybody. And if you don't change everybody and win a situation, he's won you and you'll still be at peace. For the walk of the Spirit is life and peace. Did you get something here today? And don't come up to me and say, well, God knows my heart. You know what God would say? But you don't. Right? When somebody said that to me, but God knows my heart. Something in me went, yeah, and I thought about it. And finally God says, well, the problem is they don't know their own heart. They don't. I might know their heart, but they don't know it. Did you get something here this morning? Now, this is what I want to do. After saying all that, I want every one of us to stand up in the presence of God. Hallelujah. And if there's a difficulty at standing up, don't let that bother your heart. Stand up in your heart. Praise God. You can. Stand up in your heart. Sometimes physically we can. And if you don't want to agree with this, then don't say it. But if you want the agreement of this, then confess it with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for my prayer language. I know its number one reason is to talk to you. We speak to you, Heavenly Father, and not men. I will from this day forward increase my time with that language. I want to increase spirit to spirit. Hallelujah. So that, Father, I can have the mind of Christ implanted in my spirit. In Jesus' name. Woo. Now, I didn't give an altar call on that because it belongs to every one of us. If you couldn't agree with it, I hope you didn't say it. But if you can, it'll work. It'll work. Listen, God's got control of your life by His leading. By the revelation of the walk of the Spirit, which is the revealed will of God. You can find the revealed will of God and you can purposely walk in that revealed will. That's what we call a walk of the Spirit. But then you have to have a leading of the Spirit, which makes you a very personal individual. It means you have to be specifically led apart from the walk of the Spirit. You have to have a direct leading for your personal life. Or otherwise, you're going to have to find a dictionary where your name is found in the Bible someplace. But you can't, you don't have one. I wish I could look up Jan Butler and get the right interpretation. But God leads you a day at a time. Every day. Every day you're led by God. There are some believers who are not led by God. They get up every day and they don't consider God at all. They just get up and they got their day planned ahead. It helps to get up, stand at the edge of your bed and say, Holy Spirit, this is your day. Is there anything specifically that I need to know? What do you have for me today that is important? What is it, Lord? Before anything else, Lord, Holy Spirit, just share with me what I should do. And you know what? If you don't get an answer, then just do what comes to mind. But sometimes you get an answer. Not all the time, but sometimes God will. And don't sit there and pray what kind of clothes you should put on. That's stupid. God will turn around and tell you, I don't know, what does it look good to you? But I'm talking about, you know, Lord, should I or shouldn't I do this? And you might have some important things in your life. How many have some important things next week you're going to face? How many of you know it'd be nice to have a leading of the Spirit on those important things? Just take a minute before God and just pray in the Spirit. And that important thing, put it up before Him and say, Lord, now this is important to me and I think I need your leading before I do anything. Well, show me your leading on this. Because I'm in that situation right now with my wife. We had to pray about something. But I'll tell you, the outward circumstances don't fit that we should do anything. But sometimes you just have to have a direct leading of God. Because people are important in your life. Your life is important to God. So you have to take time. If not for other people, how about yourself? Some of you have not followed the leading of the Spirit. And it cost you dearly. You wished you'd have never done that. Because it cost you. Whether it was monetarily, financially, or whether it was life itself, it cost you. Spent time that you shouldn't have spent. But you need God's voice on something. And people, every one of us are heady-minded. We all fall headlong into things. Father, say it with me. Father, teach me the way to be led by your Spirit. There's anybody here who's never given their heart and life to Jesus? Now would be a wonderful time to come forward to receive him. If there's anybody here that can say, I've been out of fellowship with God. I haven't been reading and praying like I should. I kind of put them off in the background. We'd love to pray with you. If there's anybody here that has never spoken in other tongues, that's so important for your life. That is how you talk to God. Hallelujah. Supernaturally. That's how you communicate with him spirit to spirit. You can communicate with him with your understanding. But listen, if you want revelation or supernatural insight, you need that language. So if you've never been filled with the Spirit, you've been out of fellowship, or you want to be saved, step out and come up front. Anybody? Are you guys ready to go home? Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Thank you so much, Father, for showing us how to avert the tragedies that life can bring. And may your people be successful today. And may they have a safe trip home. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.